Yeah.
Tidal wave. We've seen a tidal wave. And out of curiosity, you know, I went down the bank there to see, you know. I didn't know the wave would come our way. We've seen a whole house, you know, drifting out. That was the village in behind us there. We were about the corner of a mile from the village. And we seen that wave coming in. Then I seen the house, a whole house
very
drifting
good.
Out. And then there was some boats, you know, anchored up at, around in front of us. There was a little island there, so they used the shoreline to anchor their boats to trees there. Then we seen the wave come and they broke those boats loose, two of them, and took them out of the harbour there. And the next day we found them around a point all smashed up. And there was a couple other guys out hunting. One was across the village, I should be seal hunting. And they felt their dirt quick and they decided we got to go see if the village is there because the tidal wave hit them too, but they rode it.
Mm-hmm.
See if there's anybody left in the village. So they turned in there when they came to the view of the village, you know, it was already gone. Everything was gone.
There was a lot of drift.
Yeah, but there was a lot of debris out in front.
And there was one gal. They picked her up out of that debris. Margaret.
One girl there.
Who was
up, Margaret?
Margaret Barodkin.
Huh. She was gone?
No, she lived.
She lived. That's what saved her. She crawled up on the debris to get her out there. You know?
Wow.
And then she was asking them when she's going to see her mom and her sister.
Oh, no.
And they were gone.
That's sad.
Uh-huh.
Then about the next day after that, they were down the beach, you know, some of the village people were down the beach there, looking around, you know, and that's when they found that one person, Mrs. Velasquez, on the beach, one body they found. So they picked her up and put her on the boat.
No, they left her down.
Yeah, they left her at the village.
You know, when you grow up in a village like that, there's a church always there. Our church got washed away.
Sad.
Yeah, the old people believed that if anything happens, if the world comes to an end or anything, run to the church. So that's what a lot of them did, I guess. And that the wave took the church and everything out, you know.
Sad.
They took everything out of the village there.
And then when they found that body, and just leave her outside. Oh, that was sad, you know. We always had church to put bodies in. And then they were evacuating. They're taking some on a plane.
There was a plane to come down to the village.
Oh, would you?
To see the village, you know, see what was left, if there was anything left. And it flew over the village, and then we were way up in the hill that time. So we all ran down, you know, to meet the plane. And that was the plane that came. And that's the one that evacuated what was left from the earthquake from Tidal to Cordova. Trip after trip, we were bringing everybody over. And those two boats that survived the tidal wave took the rest of the people on a boat over to Cordova.
Hmm. And that stayed since I was a health aide to watch. Tried to send the hurt and the sick ones or the pregnant ladies and the babies in first. So I was the last one to go in.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, after that tidal wave, when the plane came to pick us up, they said there was 30 square miles of red snapper float.
Jeez.
And we did see those red snappers because I was on a boat going to Cordova. Those red snappers floating everywhere.
Hard to believe. He was always fishing. He'd come home with a little bitty one. I told him, you should have picked up a big one, but they say they weren't good eating.
Huh.
They didn't know what they were would be good to eat or not, you know. So we left them all behind. We might have picked up one to, to bring to Cordova.
And we saved one dog. Our son took one dog. And he had to pay somebody on a boat. I forgot 50 cents a day to keep the dog. And then he ran out of money, so the dog couldn't stay no more. And he went to Ann Donaldson's place, up the hill, and she kept the dog for him. And that dog would just stay and sleep. Sam, it wouldn't eat. They put stuff out, but it wouldn't eat till Sam came.
Huh. Huh.
And one day it got away, I guess it went downtown. See some people, that dog seen some people he knew, you know, from the village. He was in the bars, he came into a restaurant with his tail straight. What dogs weren't allowed.
Huh.
And then Sam had to get him out again. Oh, there was lots of trouble, though. But Joe was a good dog, though. What's that? I don't even remember the name of it. We always had dogs or pets. Sam had pets.
Huh.
He even had a baby black bear. Oh, it was little. So cute. He traded his dog, I guess, for it.
Huh.
And he brought it in. That thing knew I was scared of it. He was good to me as long as it was hungry and I fed it. One time. It would play with Sam and Hazel, just like a little puppy. It would play with him, you know, get up and slap him around and just roll around. I get mad, you could see it pouting. And then they left me alone with it. And that little thing was standing on his hind legs and just going after me to slap me. I got my leg and I had to crawl on top. We had a sink like that. I crawled on top of that. After he got me stuck up there, he went and dug my plants up and ate the roots. I said, no, it's going to go out. He gave it back. Oh, it was cute. We used to have a picture of it. I said they were my pictures, and Sam said they were his, and he took them, and I can't find them no more.
Huh.
But he had a lot of pets, oh. It was an interesting life, I guess. My dad got him a little land otter. I was home alone. I think Sam went fishing with his dad. And I went to visit my neighbors. I went home. He had a screen door and the shed was... And then pretty soon I looked out. I heard a real screeching sound. Here the land otter was out. And he was looking at me through the screen door. Oh, I got scared. And then when it looked away, I snuck out and threw my wash tub over it and put some blocks of wood on it. And next day, all us ladies got together and put it back in its cage. Mm-hmm. And then Christina was going to wash her hair. She was washing her hair. She put the shampoo on top of that cage, and it spilled it on the land otter, and that killed it. It just died after that. Oh, I was happy. Because it had good mouthful of teeth, and we had dogs, you know, and oh, it hated dogs. It would just get spitting mad.
Huh.
So, it was good that it went. We'd stay in tents while Hayes go fishing. A lot of times Sam went out with him. That was miserable. I get all mixed up. I go way back and then go ahead.
You said before that Sam doesn't speak our language?
Mm-hmm.
How about He's...
No, he doesn't. Well, Sam could speak a little bit.
Sam. Some, you know.
He called me once.
He can't say a sentence. He just...
You know, some cuss words.
Yeah.
And then he called me once. He had a cold and I just couldn't get place him. I said, who is this? Finally, he got tired of me. Anna Muchta and son.
Oh. Finally got you, huh?
And I said, where did you learn that? He said, you think I don't know no alley-oop?
Surprised you again, huh?
Uh-huh. So, but he, you know, we were partying a lot those days. And we always wanted to talk to an alley-oop if we were planning on a night out to find a sitter.
Mm-hmm.
But he got so he figured out when we got quiet and you talk to each other quietly. And he wouldn't go.
Huh.
But it was a blessing when we quit.
Yeah.
It's the best thing that ever happened. My prayers are for people here to quit all that monkey business.
Yeah.
The drugs and booze. You could find a lot more things that are happier.
Yeah.
And we're always hurt when something happens, you know. Because we like everybody. We love everybody.
Yeah.
I can take a walk in the village, and when I walk through walk by houses, I say a little prayer for each one, for the Lord to watch over. So. But it's, I like it here.
Yeah.
It's my home.
Yeah. For the kids between the ages of 4 and 5, do you think they should be learning our language or English?
Both would be good. You know that. You know, when I was a kid, I got my butt blistered for talking alley-oop. And then they asked me if I want to go and talk, teach the kids a little alley-oop. I said, I am not going to do it because I got my behind blistered in school.
Tuck.
Oh, I was just so ornery. And I got my behind blistered many times for doing it. So. But it would be good if the kids could understand. Our son is sorry he didn't learn. You know, Sam first went to high school, he went to Chemawa, Oregon, which I didn't like. Chemawa, yeah. And I wanted him to go to Cordova or Valdez. He was our baby, we didn't want that. Or Arangel or Sitka. And he said, no, Mom, I want to go to Mount Edgecombe. I said, son, you've never been away from us. I said, if you get homesick, we're not sending you for you. You're going to tough it out all that year. And he did.
Yeah.
He used to call, and we didn't have no phones then. And he used to get mad. He'd expect a letter every week. I'd have to write, and then he got acquainted out there. He had stomach ulcer and broke out with hives, and he was just missing us.
Yeah.
And then after 3 months, everything straightened out. And he didn't write. I got mad and wrote to him. He said, Mom, I knew you were mad at me, so I put your letter in the deep freeze for about an hour. I said, what? What for? He said, to cool you off before I read it. Oh, you just didn't know what to expect from him.
Cool you off.
And I got mad at him again. But the hardest thing was when he came home, he wanted to go bear hunting with a friend of his. I said, no, babe. He said, why, Mom? I said, you're too little yet. He was taller than me. He said, Mom, Ma, will you please untie the apron strings? Oh, that was the hardest thing to do. I said, I know I should, son. I know you're older than me. You're going to have to learn. I said, you learned a lot while you were away in school, and you're going to keep learning. I'll try, but have patience with me. You're my only boy, and I don't want to let you go. But we started. And he started hunting and all that. But it was hard.
Yeah. Mom said boys could do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Want to grow up too fast.
Yeah, and then hunting bears. There's brown bears I'm really scared of on the other side. And that's what he used to want to hunt.
Mm-hmm. Then he'd ask me if he can go. And I'd tell him, you go ask your mom. And then she goes in up and asks her mom, you know, what did she say? He said, no. But he was trying to get me to say yes, you know, but I wouldn't.
We had fun, though.
You ask your mom. I did.
I did.
She said, go ask Dad.
Go back and forth and try to figure out one way to let somebody say, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
What aspects of our heritage do you see young people here participating in?
I don't know.
Besides our dance group?
Learning to speak the language. And then they could become interested in fish, salmon, and stuff where they come in.
Yeah, they could be, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You know, when my granny and grandpa used to go out, they drove to Nunu, in Boulder Bay, and grandpa would catch the fish he wanted with a hook, and we'd cut them. Granny would cut them, and we'd have to wash them out and put them in the skiff. And we'd always pretend we'd fall over so we could swim. But they didn't care as long as we were doing our thing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad now that they did. They let us help, because I knew how to cut fish. And we had to learn more when we got married.
When we got on our own. We know how to cut fish already, but we both smoke.
Yeah.
Then we did our own thing, you know. I went and got alders, you know, to smoke the fish with it. We got the hang of it, and we couldn't stop. And we borrowed some smokehouses over there in shipyard boat, three of them, I guess. We cut that many fish, about 150 fish, I guess.
That's a lot of fish.
When we did it, we were still young.
Yeah.
We were still young.
Then we gave it all away. My mom was so proud.
Then we had to learn how to salt it down.
Yeah.
So we did that on our own. We didn't ask anybody, you know, how do you do it? Because there was nobody around to ask. So we did it ourselves. We put down a salmon. We put in salt. Layer of salmon salt. Layer of salt. And when winter came, you know, we couldn't get any fish out of there because we put too much salt in there.
Oh, no.
And all that salt froze, and we couldn't get no fish out. So we learned from Dad, don't put too much salt in there.
Mom and Dad put us some silver stuff for us and showed us how to do it.
Yeah.
And then we got some creek fish, you know, watermarked fish, and canned some. Gee, I didn't like them. The water turned to jelly. Huh. And my mom, I told her, look at this fish, Mom. She heated up, and she said, there's nothing wrong. It was just like boiled salmon. She wanted onion and seal oil, and she had boiled salmon.
Huh.
And after she went home, she called for the rest of it, so we sent it to her.
Huh.
But I didn't go on a can no more. watermarked fish. Hmm. Boy, we did a lot of canning. We canned bear,
deer,
goat,
ducks. Fish.
Wow, fish. Did it all, huh?
Yeah. Everything we got, you know, we canned it.
Right.
Well, last a good while that way, huh?
Mm-hmm. And then we'd get company like the postal inspector and a lot of white people, the health nurse and some people that would come and stay with us. I'd feed them the canned bear meat and all that. They ate it and liked it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a treat to them.
Yeah.
But boy, it was work. It was work, but we enjoyed it.
The end product after all that work and sweat and time.
And then picking berries. Oh, I loved that too.
Yeah.
I learned how to make jam when I was in school, but I never really did it after.
Huh.
But I learned.
Yeah.
I cold packed and made jam. My first batch of jam, I had to chew it. So I had to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
But it was fun, and I'm thankful now I know those things.
Yeah. I'm still trying to learn how to make bread. My first one was so heavy, too much flour.
Come on! I gotta see first. Mine, I didn't put salt.
In Hayes' house, Jackson, it's 1:35 p.m., March 16th.
Oh? Well, okay, I'm Ann Jackson. I was born to George and Jenny Vlasov. I was their fourth child. There was two older brothers and a sister. The two older brothers are gone now. My sister is still alive. And there's, there's Chris. There's Googie, Chris. And, yeah, I have three brothers gone. And then all my sisters except one is gone. And I was a bratty one, I guess. I wanted to have my way, and I did everything to do it. Now you're going to know how bratty I was. But my mom and dad, we had our chores to do. We weren't this modern in our days. We didn't have electricity. We didn't have fancy houses. No refrigerators, no propane stoves, no hot water. We had to pack wood in for the stove and carry water, empty the honey bucket. All those we had to do before we went out to play.
Mm-hmm.
And if we got through right away on weekends, we had to go and help some elders clean house, which I wasn't happy with. I wanted to be out playing. There was quite a few elders, and my mother made sure we went and helped them. And I'd much rather have been out playing, but the sooner they appreciate us, they'd pay us a little bit something, you know. If they just come from town, they had sweets, or if they didn't, they paid us with a slice of bread with brown sugar on it and sprinkled with tea. That was good.
Uh-huh.
And then we had to scrub floors. We didn't have wooden floors. We didn't have washing machines. Oh, that was bad. We didn't have dryers. We had to wash clothes. And there was lots of us kids. In our family, there was 11. And most of them were younger than me. Like I say, I was the fourth, and the rest were younger. It was a job trying to keep their clothes clean and dry, drying them, especially when it's weather's not good.
Mm-hmm. Where were you born?
Here.
Here in Stillick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just...
So you never moved away?
I did. I had TB, and then I was in Seward for a year and a half. That's when our son was little.
Uh-huh.
And then I came back here. And let's see. We met in Cordova. Hayes and I. September. That's quite a while ago. And we have one son, and he's living in Texas now.
Now one son got one son.
And his son is, he's going to be graduating this May. So we plan on going out to Rankin, Texas for his graduation.
Uh-huh.
We'll be gone 8 days.
That sounds like fun.
No, it isn't. I don't like Texas.
Well, your family's there.
Yeah, it's too hot. It's nice to see the family. And then they take us around, you know, to see places, but we've seen it all. When we first went out, they took us to, what's the name of that? What's the name of that cave they took us to?
Carlsbad
Cavern. Oh, that was beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And they showed us where a couple got married in there.
In a cave?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
It's real pretty.
Huh.
It's fixed up so nice, you know, you got a trail to go on. And our grandson was little, so he thought there was Indians and snakes in there. He refused, you know, they give you a little hearing aid. I mean, it's like a...
Something like a walkie-talkie, you know, it tells you what's... As you go in the cave, it tells you about things.
And
where you are.
And he thought there was Indians there. So he decided, no, he's not going in, so he's here. His mom and him waited while Sam and I took us. And I don't like little places like that. And I told my son, if we don't meet people pretty soon, I'm going to start to holler. He says, Mom, please don't. There's people that are around, and then there's
the tacos.
I really enjoyed that, though.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I was wishing the kids from here could see that, boy, they'd, you know, pretty and modern. We'll have books on them.
Yeah.
You could see some shaped like elephants, you know, drip and then it forms a rock or something. And then there's some shaped like elephants. And
wow.
Oh, it's real pretty, eh? And our grandson, he enjoyed it once he got in. There's one big room, and then it's got a little store and an eating place, and then you go to another one, a smaller one, and then after that you get the elevator and go up. I was wondering, how am I going to walk 800 feet up? That's how far down that
800 feet down.
That goes, and here we had an elevator to go up. Oh, that was real nice. That was shortly after the kids got married. We went out to see them.
Huh. And good tourist place, huh?
Mm-hmm. And that's in New Mexico.
Huh.
Texas, they don't have nothing. We went to a mine in Texas. I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenna and Sam, doing okay. And their grandson, they don't want him to graduate, but he's going to graduate May 21st, and we'll go out there 18th.
Yeah?
Be out there the 19th. But Hayes and I met in Cordova.
Just, you two knew each other from before, or people introduced you guys, or?
I don't know how it happened. He just got a hold of me. And he was brought up, his name is really Swanson, his last name. And he was brought up by Sophie and Charlie Jackson. And they said they adopted him, so we let it go until it was time for him to apply for old age. And they didn't have no kind of adoption papers.
Huh.
So it took about 2 years to find something, and I finally asked Hollis. He was a postmaster and mortician in Cordova. And I asked him, how could I get Hayes' birth certificate? And he sent me his mother's death certificate, and there was Hayes and his two sisters and two brothers, two sisters and a brother that were born to her, and they were all listed in the death certificate, and that did it.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, I was getting angry. I said, why did she say he was adopted? That was a lot of baloney. I was so mad.
Mm-hmm.
And she said the adoption papers burnt down with their house.
Oh, no.
That was a lot of baloney.
Uh-huh. You guys met in September 1947.
Mm-hmm.
When did you guys get married? And where?
Cordova. June 10th.
Mm-hmm. And then you just moved back here, or?
Well, Hayes was a cannery watchman in Nelly Wan, that's before the earthquake.
Uh-huh.
And then I ordered a schooling course. I was going to teach Sam while we were in Nelly Wan. He didn't start school till he was 8.
Uh-huh.
And I found out I'm not a school teacher.
Yeah.
But he did learn his numbers and colors. So we had to move to Chinigo. We lived down there 8 years, I guess, until the earthquake came, and Sam went to school down there. And then after the earthquake, well, before then, he didn't like it in Chinigo, so he came over here, stayed with Joe Lefshikov's family, I think. Brodkin, and then Joe Lefshikov's family.
Uh-huh.
And he went to school here. We had to live in tents when they relocated us.
Uh-huh.
We were in Cordova, and right in the middle here was tents where we lived from May till November. 4 days till Thanksgiving. Oh, it was cold.
Man, that must have been hard.
Well, we could have stayed with relatives, but you don't like to move in with anybody.
Yeah, I know how that is.
Mm-hmm. So we did stay in a 16 by 16 foot, that out there.
Well, at least it was big enough.
We really had a lot of junk, too.
Yeah.
And, let's see now.
After they got the houses built for us here, we went to Chinigo and see what you could salvage out of our old house and brought it all over here.
We were very lucky too. Our house was, our kitchen was, wall was caved in, and then there was water all around. I was a postmaster and health aide down there too.
Oh, no.
And I did the postal, what they call it. And I had to work on post office every 3 months. Oh, that was a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it that day because I wanted to go to show, go to the movie, House on the Hill, Haunted Hill.
Huh.
And so I made that I fixed the post office papers early. So, but I did lose a few COD packages that I had the post office in my house. But I saved the stamps and money orders.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to go up to higher hills. There was three waves in all. The first one caught us, I think. Yeah, when we were running up. And it would go out so far, the wave. Mm-hmm. And then we had chance to start running up the hill. We didn't know who survived.
Yeah.
Because people were still coming.
Yeah.
And it was awful. And we had to spend the night up the hill. It was good in school, but no, we kept getting aftershocks, so we didn't know.
Yeah.
How bad it would be. Some people ran up without shoes and had to find something to keep them warm. And the teacher, she really helped us with everything. She brought blankets and her clothes and whatever.
Yeah.
And food, and they made us coffee. There was three small kids. I think there was Chucky, Ricky, and Lloyd. And they lost their bottles. And next they had to drink out of cup. And then Jack went and checked, and he found a bottle for Ricky, and he had to share it with the two other kids. And come morning, we took a walk down, and they found the body of our lay reader's wife, Anna.
Hmm.
He was Anna Vlasov.
What was she?
She was Steve Lassoff's wife. He was a reader.
Oh.
And he was in Cordova.
Oh, no.
And,
so right afterwards, you guys moved over here?
To Cordova. We stayed in the Christian Center for a while, from April to... from March to end of April. Then we came out here and lived in tents. I hate to think of that time.
Yeah.
The house seemed big all ahead in here when we moved in. It was a dresser and an old army cot.
Huh.
And that's what we had in the bedrooms to sleep in. And there was lots of room and lots of space.
Yeah.
I had to try to clean up and get so tired.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a blessing that we got these houses built.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good to move in.
To a house.
Uh-huh.
So, have some questions here about our younger generation in the school now. What you think the young people here know about our language?
I'm surprised that Karen is teaching them. We both were. We didn't know it at all when Rick and Matthew and Desiree came down. We were stuck at the table here like this for over 2 hours. They were talking alley-oot to us.
Huh.
And that was a good surprise.
Yeah.
Our son doesn't know how to talk alley-oot.
So
that was really surprising. And they're doing good. And I'm proud of the alley-oot dances they do. But I think they should go around and ask people if they need help. Oh, they do, though.
Yeah,
they do. They used to come and ask me if I need help. But, I could do things yet by myself.
Yeah.
And I told them, I know you'll help me, but Don't feel bad if I say no.
Yeah.
I said I could still do it. It'll take a little longer.
Yeah.
But I'll get it done slow but sure.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you keep coming to help me, it'll spoil me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll expect you. And if you don't come around when I say to come, I'll get mad at you and I'll be crying and not feeling sorry for myself. So when I think I can't do it no more, I'll call you.
Uh-huh.
And they don't come around no more. Once in a while they will, but not too much.
Yeah.
But I know they're willing.
Yeah.
And I think the school is doing real good. They're different from when I went to school.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we do, when we ask for help, they do help us, you know.
Yeah.
The kids and the people around
here. Anybody.
Yeah.
And I love the way they share.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We met some friends in Anchorage here from Bethel. And she was down here before. And she went picking herring eggs with, Debbie's husband.
Max.
Max Dettinger. And he took them out, and boy, they had fun. They had so many spawns, and they were supposed to go back. And they left us a sack, and Haste went to check on it. He found a big rock and with the spawn. But they had fun and they took a lot of it home.
Uh-huh.
And then last year, her mom and dad came down for church services here. Oh, they were proud of the village. It made us feel so good. We met them in church and he said, oh, you come from such a nice village. He said, look at my stomach. Everywhere I went, they wanted to feed us.
Uh-huh.
He said, I put on so much weight. Oh, they had fun. They want to come back. And they're going to come back if the herring spawn.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to find somebody to take them out. And we had so much offered to us. There was seal and ducks and halibut. What they call that?
Smelt.
And we fixed a box for them, and we sent them to them, and they got them. And she was so happy. She shares with all her folks.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, thank you for all the stuff. She said, you even cleaned the ducks for us. I said, I didn't do it alone. I picked them, hay singed them, and then we cleaned them together. Mm-hmm. She said, oh, you people are so wonderful. But they've been so nice to us, you know, and we want to give them good treatment, too.
Yeah.
And she said, we're going to have a party. They're going to cook for the whole bunch. And then she said, I'm tying out the seal, and we're going to cut it up to eating sizes, and we're going to freeze it over again. Oh, she really appreciates it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be down and hope our skiff is going good, our little boat. We'll go pick them up.
Hmm.
And boy, they like that song. I like that song they sing. It's translated in their language. Hallelujah, Malikji, Kamgun, Jesus, Kamigun. I could follow them, that's all I know. But when they sing it, I could follow them all the way. Oh, that's neat. Hallelujah.
Huh.
I will follow Jesus through his footsteps. I could say that much.
Wow.
I don't know the rest, but I could sing with him.
Wow. That's pretty neat.
Uh-huh. I've been blessed. I could, I get these tapes and I get all these different people that sing in different languages. I could follow them.
that could be hard sometimes.
Yeah, but I've been blessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty proud, you know. Like when I had to go and sing with that family in Anchorage, people asked me, what are you, Aleut, Eskimo, or what? And after they heard us singing, I said, I really don't know what I am, but just anything, I guess. I said, if you asked me to sing with you, I could sing with you.
Yeah.
And they got such a bang out of that. I thought, oh, it's really interesting. But there used to be quite a few of us girls, you know, when we were growing up. There was June, she was Lund. Her last name was Allen. And then there was a girl that stayed with him, Alberta. And your mom's aunt, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all get together and go clean house. And play, play. There was one time Katie and I had to babysit an old lady with my godmother and godfather. They were on a party. And she was blind, she was an invalid. And oh, we could hear the kids playing and swimming, sun shining. Oh boy, we wanted to go out. And we whispered to each other, let's sneak out. So we started out, and we were just going out the door. She hollered, started crying and hollering to us, don't leave me, please don't leave me. And that's when we went and asked her, how did you know we were leaving? You're blind, you can't see. She said, I might look at my eyes, they look good, but I can't see. But I could hear good.
Yeah, she heard, huh?
Uh-huh. And she said, a lot of people don't believe her when she says she's blind, because she had the prettiest light brown eyes. She told us, please stay with me for a while till the others come home. And she had two granddaughters. They were small. And she said, when I see them, I'll tell them to save their clothes for you and they pass them on to you. They were smaller than we were. So we just stayed with her till someone came and I told my mom, oh, I don't like staying with her. Mom says, you have to though. It's part of growing up. You're going to learn how to take care of sick people. She used to get me mad. Whenever anybody gets sick, she'd always take me to see him. And then if there was a death, she'd let us bake something, the girls, and go and visit with the family. She was very, just spread us all out, you know, and let us do things.
Yeah.
She taught us how to clean up, but she didn't teach me how to cook.
Hmm.
He taught me when we got married. I learned how to bake bread and set bread bacon, bake pies. I had to learn to bake cakes, and I had to learn to bake pies after we got married. Boy, I cooked a good meal once. I made pie. Oh, what a mess. We didn't have oil stove then, we had coal stove. And that was going pretty hard. I kept the pie in about 15 minutes and took it out. when we ate it, I didn't boil the raisins enough and they were hard. And the pie was beautiful brown on top, but raw on the bottom.
Oh, no.
I took it and threw it out. Our son used to tell us, Mom, Dad, if we ever wrote a story of our life, it would be the best comedy. We're always getting stuck somehow. I can't remember it all. And then we were still in Nellie One, so Hayes had a dip net. Went to a stream and fish. It was a pretty good stream. There was a rock there. He stood on it. Sam and the dog were in the skiff. And I had to go to Hayes. When he'd dip, he used to dip. And there was a current going out. One time he bumped me. And I almost went overboard. Boy, I'm glad I didn't. I'd probably panic.
Oh. Then we had a dog in the skiff, and I dipped for fish, you know, and I got one, and without looking, you know, I just threw back, and hit the dog.
Our knocked son, it out. Our poor son was so upset. He always liked dogs.
Huh?
Hi.
When you speak with the kids here, do you think they understand you?
Mm-hmm.
When you talk to them in our language?
Yeah. Even my brother's older daughter. Now, what's her name? No. Kenny's daughter.
Michelle.
Older one.
Joanne.
You know, she's working in there. Come in! Come on out. We're having lessons here. We were leaving and get the chair up.
Oh, I was wondering if I could use your phone.
Go ahead.
He's getting sick again.
Oh.
Nobody's over the point.
Oh, okay. He's getting sick again. What was I saying now?
About Joanne?
Oh, I didn't know she could understand Allie. Mm-hmm. There was Herman and Hayes and I there, and I asked her, "Are you quitting now?" She said, "No, we're gonna be leaving now." She said, "No, I gotta go eat." I told her, "Well, we'll see you next time, because we're going to be going home now." And then in Aleut, I told her, "Chinga Havana." She came and hugged me and kissed me. I said, "I didn't know you knew what that was."
Huh. Surprised you, huh?
Uh-huh. Let's stop a while. I got to go see the baby. We were supposed to go to a movie that night. Like I said, quit scratching. That's my dog I'm talking to. And we had to run up the hill, and we stayed up there all night. That was quite
the beginning, that when we heard that rumble.
Yeah, you guys made fun of me. I said, "Earthquake." And we ate early, you know, so we could go to the movie. And then we're cleaning the table. "Earthquake." You could hear that rumble coming. I said, "Earthquake." Oh, they were teasing me. This one out. And pretty soon it started shaking. So I had a glass door cupboard. It was moving back and forth so hard it just opened and cracked the glass. And Hayes went to look out, and he says, "We better get out of the house." Oh, you could see the trees just swaying. We had a big tree swaying. And I didn't know what to do.
After the tidal wave.